Hey, welcome to Crossroads. My name is Hannah.
And I'm Kyle.
Today, our senior pastor, Brian, is going to help us with the things that we wrestle with.
That's exactly right. I know we both wrestled with things like shame and pride and maybe something more practical like money and giving, you know.
That's right.
And I want to say, if that's you, this message is here to help, and so are we.
That's right. So with that, let's get started and go to Brian and hear about the story of Jacob.
We're all on a journey in life. Some people know where they're going, and some people don't. The difference? It's knowing your origin story and finding your way home. You have to know where you came from if you're gonna know where you're going. We believe that there is a God, and He made you for a journey, a life of adventure. Crossroads exists to help you get there. We're going all the way back to the beginning of the story in Genesis. To find our way home to blessings. Hey, I'm Brian, senior pastor at Crossroads. You know, if you follow God, you're in the family. That's good news. I'll give you even better news. There's a blessing for being in the family. The Genesis story unlocks for us how you actually get that blessing. And part of it is, I'm going someplace right now. I'm actually in an anti-friction machine. Everything about this is designed to minimize friction. Round wheels instead of square wheels, ball bearings everywhere, grease everywhere to minimize friction. The thing about our life is that our life is going to have friction. Specifically, if you're moving someplace, if you're going someplace, this thing is about going someplace. If you are gonna try to go someplace, you're going to have friction. Life is about movement. And the big word for today really is life is about hustling. It's about going someplace. We're gonna look at Jacob today because there's things in this ancient hero story that help us understand God and help us understand our life. And if you've been in church before, you've heard sermons before, you've heard anything about this ancient character named Jacob, you're gonna be really confused about what I'm gonna talk about today because Jacob is normally the bad guy. He's normally seen as just a jerk. He's a person who's selfish, and that's really not the case at all. We misunderstand somebody who's moving someplace. Now, Jacob is definitely not a pristine character. The Bible's heroes, especially Jacob, are not whitewashed. There's no diplomacy about showing these people's faults, and Jacob has a lot of faults, but he is used by God. He is incredibly blessed. And he should be a model for us. Let's start back at the beginning. Very beginning of his life, he's in the womb with his twin brother Esau. His parents are named Isaac and Rebekah. They're having twins. And in the womb, Jacob is trying to move someplace. He's trying to move out of the birth canal, and he's actually trying to move out before Esau. So he comes out holding onto his heel, grasping onto his heel. Some people look at this and go, look at Jacob. He's trying to supplant what Esau has coming to him as the eldest, as the firstborn. There's the thing with this ancient culture. You had the birthright. The birthright was something that the oldest son would have. This is their cultural context. The oldest son had a birthright, which meant that he was to be the one that got the lion's share of the inheritance from dad and mom. He was the one who was supposed to manage the family. It was his birthright. And Jacob, he wants that position. He wants that birthright. It's like in his birth, he's trying to beat his brother outside of the womb, but he doesn't. Some people are misinformed, would say that Jacob means one who supplants. He's not trying to supplant anything. There's no deception going on here at all. He's actually hustling. He's hustling. 2 points for today. One is this. Hustle. Jacob hustled. His name Jacob doesn't mean one who supplants or supplanter or deceiver. His name means one who grasps. He's grasping at the heel. He's grabbing the heel, which is why they called him that, trying to beat Esau getting out of the womb. Hustle is not a negative term. It can be. If you're hustling somebody, you're not being honest with somebody, that's not good. But hustle, according to Webster, also means obtaining by energetic activity. That's what he does. His whole life, he's trying to obtain by energetic activity. In Genesis chapter 25, verse 28, it says, Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Part of the tension we're going to be seeing here in this story is that there's a lot of family dysfunction that's taking place. This combat that Esau and Jacob have in the womb is actually seen throughout the whole family, because Esau is the one his dad likes. He's a manly man. He's the one who hunts. Jacob is the one his mom, Rebecca, likes. He's the, you might say in today's vernacular for some, he's the girly man. He's the one who's not hunting. He's not doing the manly things. He's doing the cooking. Rebecca likes Jacob. Isaac likes Esau. There's some family tension that's going on between them. In the midst of this family tension, we see a seminal story take place in their family tree. It goes like this in Genesis chapter 25, verse 29 and following. Once when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted." Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." And Esau said, "I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me now." And so he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. There's nothing wrong here at all. Nothing wrong. Christian-y, spiritually churchy types would say, "Oh, shouldn't Jacob have just given it to Esau? It'd just be so much nicer to give. We should give." I like giving. Giving is a very important spiritual discipline. There's a time for giving, though, and a time for hustling. If you get a paycheck, you're doing exactly what Jacob did. It's a fair trade. You're saying to your employer, "I'm going to give you my time, and you're going to give me money." Are you just giving your employer your time all the time? You might sometimes, but you can't pay the bills that way. If you own a business, are you just giving your widgets away or whatever? I don't even know what a widget is. Talk about that in business class. You're giving away? No, you're trading it. If you're a counselor, are you just giving away your counselor to everybody? No, you got to put food on the table. You're trading your counsel for a fee of $100 an hour, however good you are. Basically, how you can charge. There's nothing wrong with what Jacob's doing. He's just having a basic trade. In fact, that verse said that it was Esau who despised his birthright. He undervalued his birthright. And he's just a weak. He's weak. He says, "Oh, I'm about to die." You're not going to die. You have raw meat with you. You can eat raw meat if you're going to die. You're not far from the village. You're going to be fine. But man, Esau did not want to hustle. Esau could not handle friction. Esau could not handle difficulty. He would take the easy trade any day than hold out for something better. That's not the way it is with Jacob, and that can't be the way it is for you and I. We've got to hold out for better things. We've got to think through how to get ahead. We've got to actually hustle. Now, Jacob does have problems. In fact, his whole family has problems. He's not pristine, clean here. This scenario goes down. Years go by. The official blessing hasn't been given yet. The blessing goes to the person who has the birthright. The blessing happens. The blessing. Christmas Vacation. Come on, I can quote movies that are 30 years old, can't I? The blessing is when the father would officially bestow the birthright, put his hands on the eldest son, and say the blessing. That hasn't happened yet. In this scene, it does happen. Years and years have gone by, and Esau wants to get this blessing, even though he's fairly traded it to Jacob, and the mother, Rebekah, who, again, Jacob is her favorite, Jacob's a mama's boy, she hears about this, she's like, "Hey, Jacob, your brother's trying to pull a fast one on you. Here's what we're going to do. Your dad's getting older in age. That's why he's trying to do the blessing right now. He's trying to pass it on. He can't see very well. So your brother's like hairy, manly man guy, hunter guy. He smells like wild game. He's hairy all over the place. You're not. We're going to have to get you smelling like a manly man. and we're gonna have to go get some goat skins, put some goat skins on you because your dad's losing it. He'll reach out and feel you, and he's kind of, he'll feel hair and he'll think he's your brother, and then you can get the official prayer of blessing. Great, we'll do that. They go and do that. Isaac prays the blessing on him. Not long after that, Esau comes in. He wants the blessing, and he cries out in anguish, no, no, bless me too. Give me the birthright. He can be blessed, but he can't have the birthright blessing. Who's at fault here? Everybody's at fault here. No one's clean here. Jacob shouldn't have been lying the way he was. Just an out-and-out lie to deceive his dad. Rebecca shouldn't have been trying to deceive her husband and go behind his back. Mom and dad have always got to be like this, right? Esau, he already made a deal. He shouldn't have been like this. And on top of that, Isaac, the father, him as well. He's in the wrong. Why is he in the wrong? He probably knew. He had to know that this event went down. And if he didn't, there was very clear instruction that had come to him and Rebekah from God that the older was to serve the younger. The blame here is very clearly put on Esau, because it was him who despised his birthright, but the parents were trying to go against the plan of God. Actually, here's what they initially heard from God before all of this took place, before the boys were actually born. In Genesis 25, 23, before this all happens, God tells Isaac and Rebekah, the older will serve the younger. The older, the one who should get the birthright, is actually gonna serve the younger. That's the way I want it. Some people look at that as God just predicting, prophesying what's going to happen in the future. It wasn't a prediction, it was instruction from God that this is the way I want it. I want the younger one to get the blessing. I want the younger one to get the birthright. In fact, in Romans chapter 9, that's in the New Testament, looking back on this, it makes it very, very clear. It says there again that this was the plan of God. The younger was to have the blessing and the birthright, and Isaac didn't care. He just wanted to go right by there. This is dysfunction junction. Any way that you look at it, just so you can hear everything about Jacob, because we've got to appreciate him. Too many people don't appreciate him. I just want us to see that holistically here, Jacob is the innocent one. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament, Hebrews is written to Hebrews, good, very good job, good job, to Jewish people, trying to actually help people of the Jewish faith understand the Old Testament scriptures in light of Jesus. That's what the book of Hebrews is about. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 and 17, and talking about this story, it says, see that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. Who's immoral and unholy there? Esau, not Jacob. And he regretted it. He's crying to his dad, I want to, what? Sorry, dude. You made a decision way back when to take the easy path. You made a decision way back when not to hustle. And there's a certain blessing that comes to you when you hustle. You might not have hustled up to now, but starting right now, if you want a blessing, you've got to be up for some friction, and you've got to start to hustle.
Jacob hustles and Jacob wrestles. I'm about to tell you about one of Jacob's traits that inspires me maybe the most. Before we get into that one, another thing that inspires me is that our church, Crossroads, hustles. Thanks for being a part of our church. Thanks for doing what you're doing. And if you give around here, you're part of us, and you're gonna be getting one of these in the mail. This is an annual report. And I love this, it is encouraging. Who needs some encouragement? Ooh, I do, I need encouragement. If you're on our online church and you're a giver, you're gonna be getting one of these in the mail, and you're gonna find out that your church and you, we've been hustling for this whole last year. There's a lot of good stuff that's been taking place. Look for this. Thank you for being generous and helping us bless people. And we trust that we're blessing you as well, as I'm trying to do right now by helping you understand the life of Jacob. Jacob hustles and Jacob wrestles. Our world has always been fascinated by the idea of
some sort of a physical contact, some sort of wrestling, of grappling, of fighting. Every single culture has some version of wrestling, whether it is sumo wrestling, Greco-Roman, Olympic freestyle, Brazilian, jiu-jitsu, judo, MMA, WWE. I think that counts. But that place exists and people go because we're drawn to wrestling. It's a good thing that we're drawn to it because we're in a fight. Fighting and wrestling, it never stops. This annual report, it's a report of hard church work, wrestling. Doing ministry is a form of fighting, it's wrestling. If you're a parent, that is a fight, it's a form of wrestling. When you're in a hard financial place, it is a form of wrestling to get to a better place. When you get a bad diagnosis, it's a form of wrestling. We're never going to get away from the fight inside of our life. But Jacob learns that his fight that he's been dealing with and is going to deal with is going to actually lead him to a blessing. Jacob has this attribute of hustling, of wrestling, and I think that's actually part of why God uses him and why God has a plan for him. And also part of why maybe God was choosing Jacob over Esau, because Esau was a bit lazy. Esau was a bit passive. Esau was, okay, take my birthright, take the stew. Okay, I'll do the easy thing. He's hustling and he's wrestling. Now, when Jacob gets to his campsite, he thinks he's gonna just be having some me time, some time alone with him. But instead, he's gonna realize he's gonna be in for the most significant wrestling match of his life. He's actually going to wrestle God. God is going to come to him in the form of a human, and Jacob is going to wrestle God himself. Let's read it, Genesis 32, chapter 24. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Jacob's gonna be way outside of his weight class here. I one time wrestled in a backyard an older friend of my friend. He was 2 years older than me. And it was the hardest wrestle I ever had. And I can't remember why we were wrestling. There was something that got us fighting. We actually wrestled so long, we tired each other out. And I can still remember lying on wet grass in a stalemate with Jim Wagner lying on my inner thigh. And we ended up actually becoming friends because we were just tired and trying to recover. Neither one wanted to let go of the other. This is kind of what happens with Jacob and God. They're wrestling all night, but Jacob, I think he probably knows that he's outclassed and he's wrestling against someone or something that's just tamping down his power. God's obviously not going full out, but Jacob is like holding on. He realizes something is going on here. He's like, "Oh, bless me, bless me." He's clinging on to him despite of the fact that God has just touched his hip and knocked it out of socket. And yet, he's holding on. This is part of the beauty of Jacob. He not only hustles, he wrestles, and he just hangs on. Sometimes, that's the best you can do, is just hang on. I know some of us have had a great last couple years, but a lot of us have not. And it's really difficult when you're wrestling against things that you can't beat. Whatever you think about COVID, whatever you think about the government, whatever you think about our racial issues in our country, whatever you think about vaccines, whatever, just about everybody's upset. Just about everybody is. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do to get people to stop wearing masks or make you wear masks. There's nothing you can do about getting people to have a vaccine if you think they should or you
not having a vaccine if your employer requires you to. I guess you can now because, you know, the courts have kind of ruled on that, at least as of the taping. But there are so many things that are just beyond. We can't win. You can't win. So the best thing we can do right now, and maybe the best thing you can do, is you just hang on. You try not to lose your mind. You try not to lose your character. You try not to lose your heart. Sometimes the best you can do is just hang on. It's an honorable thing to hang on. In Genesis 32:27, here's what God says to Jacob. And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me what your name is." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his limp. Jacob's holding on. God says, "What's your name?" And when he says his name, Jacob, he's saying, "I'm the one who strives. I'm the one who hustles. That's why I'm not giving up. That's why I'm still hanging on here." And God uniquely blesses him. He gives him a new name. He gives him the name Israel. It's arguably the greatest name he could give a human being. This is the name of his chosen people. He names his chosen people after Jacob. It's hard to say exactly what this means. Some say, like it's translated, like I just read with you, one who strives with God. Maybe. I think a better idea is one who is God's fighter. God's fighter. This is a complimentary name, to be very, very clear. Complimentary. Or else the nation of Israel wouldn't be called this. I like the idea of God's fighter. Because both of us, all of us, should be God's fighter. God has put you in places where he wants you to fight, not physically beat somebody up, not subvert and put your power and push people down, but there are things that come across our radar that we've got to grab, we've got to wrestle. And these things normally are not fixed with one punch. It's things that are arduous, backbreaking, patient, long-suffering, forbearing, just hanging on, but I'm hanging on and I'm wrestling. Sometimes it is wrestling with God. God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? God, why are you not allowing this to happen to me when I'm seeing it happen to other people who seem to be less qualified for a blessing than I am? God, why is it that you haven't given me this? God, why is it that you've given me this? There is the wrestling with God, the holding on. Every great person that God uses will go through wrestling matches with God. And it's not just the one. It's going to happen again and again and again in life. These things qualify us for the real fights that God wants us in, and they strengthen us spiritually. Jacob has more than his share of problems and has more of his share of outages. We've talked about some of those today. But he's used by God, he's loved by God, because he's a fighter, and we will always remember the day that he fought with God because he limps. Some of us have a limp. And the limp might be an annoyance, but the limp that you have, the pain that you have, the remorse that you have over some certain loss, every step that Jacob took, he was reminded of how close he was with God and how close he is with God, because not many people get to wrestle with God. I try to think of that when my joints are out of socket, when I don't feel like I can hang on anymore, when I'm just tired of it. I think I'm learning something about God right now that I won't learn when I'm on a chair at the beach. God has a special place in his heart for people who wrestle with Him and wrestle with the assignment that He gives us. Because He's there. Because when you're wrestling with Him, He's there. He's here with you right now. He is. Jesus is here with you right now. Actually, in all likelihood, this was a prefiguration of Jesus Himself, who's actually wrestling with Jacob. I believe Jesus was there. And right now, as you wrestle, as you feel like you can't hang on any longer, as someone is lying on top of you on the moist ground, as your muscles are cramping up and you don't know you can do it any longer, a blessing may be right around the corner in the very next minute or the next hour, the next day, the next week, or the next year. God is with you and Jesus is here. We're going to sing right now. And I know for a lot of us, singing is a wrestling match. You don't like to do it. So let me just turn it off right now. Like, forget, I'm not doing the same thing. There's a lot of people who are into that. It's not a good call, because singing is a way that we wrestle with God, especially for those of us who don't like the sound of our voice or don't like the process. It's a difficult thing to sing out loud and to participate, just like it's difficult to wrestle with God. And we're going to sing When Jesus Is Here.
Let us take the time and silence all the noise, clear our aching minds, and listen for His voice. For the God of all creation is with us in this place. We don't have to be the same. Anything is possible when Jesus is here. His kingdom is unstoppable. His love draws us near. Oh, lift your hands in surrender. He is faithful forever. Anything is possible when Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Oh, anything is possible when Jesus is here.
I think the reason why Jacob is so misunderstood is because in America, the culture of spirituality or the culture of churchianity doesn't know what to make of Jacob. It's like in church work, we think it's our responsibility to reprogram people to be nice. Like, whoever they are, whatever drive they have, let's just tamp that down. Let's just reprogram you to be nice. Being timid nice is not a godly combo. Maybe nice is. I mean, we need more of us being nice, quite frankly, in our culture. More people need to be kind. But I'm talking about the niceness that's just like surfacey and just like hoping and assuming that things are going to go your way. No, things are not just going to go your way. No, we need to learn from Jacob. We need to get back home to his life and say, what is it that God wants for me? And I've got to exert some energy and some action overcome some friction to get that blessing. We need more feisty followers who have a vision. They're going after something. Don't be lulled into complacency like so many people are. You're not entitled to have a blessing just because you're alive and God loves you. You're not entitled. You'll get them because God's incredibly generous. But there's a level of living, a level of blessing that only comes for those of us who go the way of Jacob. Keep hustling, keep wrestling. Blessing may just be coming your way.
That was a super clear message, right?
It was.
God wants you to wrestle with him and God wants you to hustle.
That's exactly right. It sounds crazy, but there was something in Jacob that I think we can all learn from.
Absolutely. Now, I want to just say that Crossroads is donor funded.
That's right.
We're able to put together episodes like these and do this kind of thing because of people just like you.
And if giving is something that you're interested in, you can go to the Crossroads app right now or go to crossroads.net/give. We'll see you next week on Crossroads.
How can the story of Noah and the flood be true and God be the loving father we'd actually want to come home to? Well, to get the answer, we're going to tackle the hardest questions surrounding the story head on. And I believe if you hang with us, you'll see this story in a new light that helps you find your way closer to home.
Do you know where you're going? To get different results in life, you're going to have to do some different things. And if you're up for adventure this year, do the Bible challenge with me. Read every day, get inspired, and see what others are saying. I believe the Bible is more than a book that's meant to sit on a shelf and just collect dust. It's meant to take you somewhere in life. What about you? Where are you going? Download the Crossroads app. Do the Bible challenge today.